Well, good morning, everyone. Seems years since I've actually had a chance to speak at a family service, so I'm really pleased that Trevor's Cook. I don't really mean that, but it gives me an opportunity to be here this morning, so that's really great. So let's pray, and then I'll try and speak to you about what this Word of God is saying this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for all your blessings to us. We thank you for your word, which teaches and instructs us and encourages us in our lives. We pray that from your word this morning, dear Lord, you might speak to us and help us to apply these things to our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may not believe this, but once upon a time I was young. And we used to have a bloke board with us. He was a young man. He bought his first car, and it was a VW. In those days, they only made one brand of Volkswagen, and that was the Beetle. He'd been on holidays, and he came home, and he said, "Oh, you'll never guess what happened to me." Well, I said, "Oh, I wonder what happened." And he said, "I was driving through this town," and he said, "there in front of me was a Rolls Royce," and he said, "I sped up and passed it." He was so joyful. About a fortnight later in the mail, he got a speeding ticket. And, you know, he was really happy. And then all of a sudden he was sad. Well, let me just say to you, this reading from John's Gospel this morning, when we're looking at the third of Jesus' signs, is one of those readings that really makes me happy, and yet it's a reading that makes me really sad. Why? The reason why is because of the attitude of this guy who was healed. There is no joy in what it is that has happened to him. And as we go on in our reading this morning, we see that he can't even take responsibility for what it is that's happened. There's a real contrast between the reading from Acts and the reading from John. It's interesting that the reading from John is the third of Jesus' signs, pointing to who he is, that he is divine, Son of God. The reading from Acts tells us that, and this is the first time that Peter and John actually use the power and the authority that Jesus has given them to do something, and that is to heal this man. What a difference his response to the response of the man who Jesus healed. Again, there's a difference between the two. The man who Peter and John healed was coming to the gate to be healed, to sit and to beg, and he sees Peter and John and asks them for money. That's what beggars do. And Peter and John say, "Silver and gold, I have nothing. I don't have. But in the name of Jesus, walk." The one who Jesus confronts in John chapter 3, he hasn't asked Jesus for anything. It is Jesus who seeks him out. It's interesting, isn't it? He hasn't exhibited any faith in his life. He doesn't even know who Jesus is. If you look at, where are we? In verse 12, so they asked him, "Who is the fellow who told you to pick up the mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. If we think about this reaction of the man, we see that it's not an act of faith. It's just he's been healed. The other thing that interests me in this passage is that it talks about how the blind, the lame and the paralysed were at this particular place, this pool called Bethesda. So there were lots of people who needed healing. Jesus was going to worship, and he walks into this place, and he picks one person out, and chooses to heal him. Why doesn't he heal the rest? Why doesn't he give sight to the blind? Why doesn't he help the lame to walk? Have you thought about that? because here they are. And yet Jesus chooses to heal this man. This man who doesn't know who he is, hasn't asked for healing, and yet Jesus heals him. Why? Why? Well, don't look at me for an answer. Because it seems to me that Jesus will do what Jesus will do when he wants to and where he wants to and whenever he wants to. But at the same time, it helps me to understand how some people can be healed through prayer while others aren't. And it seems to me that there doesn't seem to be an answer to that particular question. But really, God is who God is, and he will do what he wants to do whenever he wants to. For me, that's reassuring. For me, that's comforting. Because there are people who say, why doesn't God do this, and why doesn't God do that, and why doesn't God do something else? And it seems to me that that's not the way that God works. God makes decisions, and he knows best what it is that he is doing. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at the signs of Jesus. The first sign, of course, was turning water into wine. The second sign was, gee, I'm glad you've all been paying attention. The second sign was the royal official whose son was dying, and he came to Jesus and said, come with me, I want you to heal my son who is dying. Did Jesus go? No, he didn't. He said, your son will live. And when the man went home, at the time that Jesus says that, the boy was healed and his family believed. That's the great outcome as well. Jesus has authority. Jesus can speak the word. And I guess that takes us right back to Genesis, doesn't it? When God spoke the word and day, night, the world was created. The authority of God's word. When Jesus was speaking, there were those who used to say, this man speaks with authority. They recognised the authority that Jesus had. This man who was healed by Jesus asks him a simple question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? If you were asked that question, what would you say? I know what I'd say. Yes, I want to get well. But notice what this man says in verse 7. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Let me ask you, does this man want to be healed? Or has he got to a point in his life where he's comfortable? You know, I don't like this guy, by the way. I have to tell you that. But I think he's comfortable. And it's very easy for us to become comfortable and complacent in our lives. Not just with this situation, but in lots of situations. But Jesus wants to take us out of that. He wants to take us to where he wants us to be. This man was going to have a new life. He wouldn't be able to bludgeon people giving him money anymore. He'd probably have to work. So his life was going to change drastically. After 38 years, he'd been sponging on the community. Was he a cripple? Well, it says that he was. I think he was a cripple in more ways than one. And if we look at the end of this reading we had this morning, we see that to be quite clear. Because he's later on, when Jesus found him, he said to him, see, you are well, stop sinning, or something worse will happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who healed him. What a lousy creep he was. Stop sinning, says Jesus. Stop sinning. This man had been sinning. We don't know what or why or anything else. But Jesus says to him, stop sinning. And Leon Morris, who was a great scholar who was principal when I was at Ridley College, he was saying that this man, when he said stop sinning, because there was going to be an eternal consequence that would come from that. It wasn't just something physical, although that's bad enough, but rather he saw it as being something even greater. And I guess I'm saying to you people this morning too, as well as I do to myself, is there some sin in our lives that we need to get rid of? That's really hampering us in our relationship with God. Because if it is, we ought to do something about it. And maybe this morning, it is Jesus saying to us, do something. Change your life. Get rid of that sin that is in there. The other thing about this reading this morning is that up to this particular point of time in John's Gospel, there is no religious leaders have no problem with Jesus. But if we were to read on chapters 16 and following, we'd see from this particular point of time on, the Jews are hell-bent on seeking to destroy Jesus. They left no stone unturned, wanting to crucify him. And of course, eventually, they did. They crucified him. Why? Because of their laws. That was the reason why. But I guess, as I read this passage through, I need to ask, do we really recognise the authority that Jesus has over all things, and especially over our lives? You know, it's so easy just to go on day after day after day, living our life, occasionally giving a thought to Jesus, perhaps in the morning when we have our quiet time, or at night when we're reading our Bibles. Are you? Silence. I thought everybody would jump up and say yes. But you see, we need to realise that Jesus has the authority to speak to us and to guide us through every day. There may be an opportunity for us to have a special encounter with Jesus at some time through our day. We need to look forward to having an encounter with Jesus every day. We need to look forward to having an opportunity to speak about Jesus when and where he gives us that privilege and that opportunity. Not least of all here. When we go out for a cup of tea, do we talk about what? Geelong winning the football this afternoon? Or what do we talk about? Do we speak about spiritual things in our life? What did you read yesterday in your scriptures? What was it that Jesus has spoken to you about through the week? How closely have you walked with him? Do we speak about these things, or do we just let it go? I played golf yesterday, and I pray, of course, before I go, Lord, if I get an opportunity today, can I speak to somebody? Well, one of the guys I was playing with, he said to me, I'm playing it terrible. He said, I should start praying, shouldn't I? I said, yeah, well, the first time would be great. Oh, he said, I've been to church once. I said, oh, yes. And he said, the fellow up the front, he said he had two jugs of water. One was water and one was whiskey. And he said he dropped this worm into the water. And he said, kept swimming around. He took it out, dropped it into the whiskey. And he said, the worm died. And he said to the congregation, what does this mean? And someone in the congregation said, drink whiskey, it kills worms. But what I'm saying is that then it gave me an opportunity to talk to this guy about prayer. And so as we walked along, it gave me that opportunity. He'd made a joke, but I was able to take it further on. And I guess for us, we need to to really ask God to give us that privilege and that opportunity to speak to God. It's a sign that we are Christians. Jesus had a sign. It showed who he was, the divine Son of God. But what singles us out as Christians? What makes you any different from any other person in the community, who you work with or anything else? What is it that specifies that you have faith in our Lord Jesus? Because if we're not living out our faith, if we're not showing that we are children of God, then really we've missed the point. We really do need to acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord, and this is becoming more and more and more important as every day goes by. And unless we are prepared to do that, then the name of Jesus will not be shown. So let me encourage you this morning to seek every opportunity. That don't wait until, like Peter and John, you were asked for something, but rather seek the one who you should speak to in order that they may come to know who Jesus is. And hopefully their response will be different to this lame man. Well, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It challenges us and encourages us. And we pray that we may have such trust and confidence and hope in you that we might live our lives to reflect our relationship with you, and that others might come to know you as well. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.